Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Excuse me. Oops. No. Aha. Hare Krishna. Oh, Srupa Damodar Prabhu, you're there. In the kitchen, I think. Okay, so this morning, devotees, we are reading Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 3, Chapter 24, The Renunciation of Kardama Muni, Text 16. Vedaham Adyam Purusham Avatirnam Swa Mayaya Bhutanam Shevadim Deham Bibranam Kapilam Mune Vedaham Adyam Purusham Avatirnam Swamayaya Bhutanam Shevadim Deham Bibranam Kapilam Mune Vedaham Adyam Purusham Avatirnam Swamayaya Bhutanam Shevadim Deham Bibranam Kapilam Mune Vedaham Adyam Purusham Avatirnam Swamayaya Bhutanam Shevadim Deham Bibranam Kapilam Mune The original Purusham Enjoya Avatirnam Incarnated Swamayaya by his own internal energy Bhutanam of all the living entities Shevadhim the bestower of all desired who is just like a vast treasure Deham the body Bibranam, assuming, Kapilam, Kapila Muni, Mune, O sage Kardama. Translation. O Kardama, I know that the original Supreme Personality of Godhead has now appeared as an incarnation by his internal energy. And he has now assumed the body of Kapila Muni. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. In this verse, we find the words Purusham Avatirnam Swamayaya. The Supreme Personality of Godhead is everlastingly, eternally, the form of Purusha, the predominator or enjoyer. And when he appears, and when he appears, he never accepts anything of this material energy. The spiritual world is a manifestation of his personal internal potency, whereas the material world is a manifestation of his material or differentiated energy. The word swamayaya, by his own internal potency, indicates that whenever the Supreme Personality of Godhead descends, he comes in his own energy. He may assume the body of a human being, but that body is not material. In Bhagavad Gita, therefore, it is clearly stated that only fools and rascals, mudhas, consider the body of Krishna to be the body of a common human being. The word shavadhim means that he is the original bestower of all the necessities of life upon the living entities. In the Vedas also it is stated that he is the chief living entity, and that he bestows all the desired necessities of other living entities. Because he's the bestower of the necessities of all others, he is called God. The Supreme is also a living entity. He is not impersonal. As we are individual, the Supreme Personality of Godhead is also individual, but he is the supreme individual. That is the difference between God and the ordinary living entities. Vedaham adyam purusham avatirnam swamayaya bhutanam shevadim deham bibranam kapilam mune. O Kardama, I know that the original Supreme Personality of Godhead has now appeared as an incarnation by his internal energy. He is the bestower of all desired by the living entities, and he has now assumed the body of Kapila Muni. Nama Om Vishnupadaya Krishna Prestaya Bhutale Shrimati Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namine Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharne Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Pastyachade Shatarne Sri Krishna Chaitanya Pramunityananda Sri Advaita Gadadha Shivasani Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Vanchakalpa Trulubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhya Evacha Paditanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Sri Sri Radha Radhanath Sri Giri Govardhan Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu Ki Jai. Yes. One moment. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. So, we see here that Srila Prabhupada, the verse describes Kapila Muni. Lord Brahma is speaking, and Lord Brahma is referring to Lord Kapila as Adyam Purusham. Adyam Purusham Avatirnam Swamayaya. So Adyam Purusham, Prabhupada has translated, and it's very straightforward, actually. The original Supreme Personality of Godhead, the original person, Adyam, the first. There cannot be one before the first. The first is the first. The second is not the same as the first. But Lord Kapila is Adyam, Purusham, the first person, the original person, the original Supreme Personality of Godhead, Avatirnam, Swamayaya, as Prabhupada refers to here in the purport, that he's appeared avatirnam, avatirnam, avatar. These words are related. Yes, so he's appeared as an incarnation, as an avatar, swamayaya, by his own potency, not by somebody else's potency, as we have appeared. We have appeared here not by swamayaya, swa meaning us. This term swa means yourself, yours. And mayaya, it of course can mean a little bit different things, but in this context, as Prabhupada's explained, by his own maya, his own potency, his own shakti, as we have not. This, of course, is described in the earlier parts of Bhagavad Gita, and is one of the most essential and foundational aspects of the understanding of Krishna consciousness. The differences between us and the Supreme Personality of Godhead, of course, they are numerous. They are extremely numerous. In fact, they are something approaching innumerable. Just too many, if you really get into it in real detail. Too many to actually to list out and to comprehend within our small brains. Yeah. So one of those differences is that when we appear, as Lord Krishna tells Arjuna, that many, many births, both you and I have passed, I can remember all of them, you can't remember any of them. It'd be one thing if we could remember some of them, but we actually can't even remember any of them. You know, occasionally you get these people, you may have read, and our devotees some years ago did a documentary video. The devotees who make the videos regularly, Nishingananda Prabhu, about people who, it seemed at least, could remember their previous lifetime or some previous lifetime. Maybe it wasn't the immediate one, because some of them seem to remember lifetimes from a few hundred years before. But it seemed like that. So there's a whole documentary about this with the different examples and researching how they could remember certain things, like the way certain buildings were some years before, but they weren't now. How the buildings were before that person was born. And, you know, who knows? So, but arguably, this could be some form of evidence that this person is remembering the or a previous lifetime, and that's very important in a sense, if that can be actually established, because that would establish reincarnation. And once you if reincarnation can be established in concrete terms, that makes the whole world a different place. And it gives Krishna consciousness a whole different place in the world. Oh, what a difference that would make. Anyway, of course, you know, the skeptical materialists are very expert at finding ways to sort of deny such things. So, anyway, I don't think that idea has really been accepted so much. But we accept it, that there are many lifetimes to be remembered if we just had the memory, power of memory, power of recall. And Srila Prabhupada, there's one letter I read many years ago in which Srila Prabhupada says, when the living entity in this world actually becomes completely purified and is totally freed from ignorance, then Prabhupada said that then you can remember all your lifetimes. So many lifetimes you can remember. But we can't remember now, Prabhupada explained, by Krishna's mercy, because if we could remember now, it would be too much for us, too overwhelming. Particularly the pain that we've been through, how many lifetimes we died. And in many cases, we died in very shocking circumstances, in terribly severe pain. Okay. So, but now, the process, the closest it seems, at least, you know, in Western life, through these regressions, these people, even there's some devotees, even one disciple of mine, would you believe, in Lithuania, is a professional regression person. Oh yes, taking people back, it seems, into previous lifetimes. But that's the closest we get. That's the closest we get to clear, in anything like clear, like we remember what, at least certain things we did yesterday, we remember very clearly. We remember what we were doing this morning. We were sitting here, I was sitting here chanting japa, unable to move, a prisoner of the internet. Yes. So, you know, so I remember. I don't remember all the details of every mantra I chanted. But I do remember, and every day I remember, it's really nice chanting like that. Sure, it is just wonderful. So, these are things we remember in concrete terms. But as you go further back, the remembrances become less clear. Less clear and just less. Yeah. Until you get back to your childhood. And I remember Mother Gaurabhumi the other day remembered she was 3 or 4 years old when a certain incident happened. If you remember, we brought it up in the class. 3 or 4 years old, I tell you frankly, I can't really remember. I can't. The only things I remember from that sort of time, actually I was 2, and my mother had just given birth to my brother. And one of my aunts told me, And I remember very clearly being told about this. But other than that, the next thing I remember is my first day at school. At the age of 5. The day I turned 5. And then I moved to another school in about like four or five months later. And I remember the first day at school there. But, sorry. Yeah. Less detail and just less. But as Krishna, in that verse we mentioned a few minutes ago, as Lord Krishna told Arjuna, I can remember all of those births. Many, many births. Both you and I have taken together. And I can remember all of them. But you cannot remember any of them at all. And Krishna is saying, I can remember all of them, but I can remember all of them. Yeah. Not just something from each one of them, but I can remember all of them. It caught my attention when reading the Sanskrit, the first word of the Sanskrit, Ved Aham. I know. That word appears in a fairly prominent verse in Bhagavad Gita. Lord Krishna says, what is it? Vedaham? Vedaham? Yeah. What's the first line? Vedaham? Okay. Anyway, I don't want to just distract us. But the Vedaham Sarvabhutanam, right? Vedaham Sarva. Oh no. Vedaham Samatitani Vartamanani Charjana Bhavishyani Chabutani Mamtu Veda Nakaschana. O Arjuna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. I know everything that's happened in the past. Vedaham. Samatitani means the complete past. Vedaham. I know. Everything that's happened in the past, all that's happening in present, and all things that are yet to come. I also know all living entities, but me, no one knows. Yes, it just caught my attention there, that verse, that word. So yes, so just see the difference. Purusham avatirnam swamayaya. Because Krishna appears by his energy, which is under his control, we appear under his energy, another one, which is not under our control. And therefore, oh gosh, the power of ignorance is so great. Out of the three modes of material nature, sometimes it is said that ignorance is the most powerful or the most prominent, something to that effect. More so than passion or goodness. I mean, it's quite believable that it's more prominent than goodness in material life. But it's interesting, more prominent than passion also. Because you only really can really become passionate about material life and developing your material life, if you've forgotten about your real life, your real spiritual life, who you really are. Otherwise, if you're trying to become passionate about material existence and really get into it, but you can't forget about your original natural position, then, you know, it's going to be an uncomfortable situation. It could even be like a sort of, you know, kind of schizophrenic situation. There are two parts of my existence which really contradict each other greatly. So, therefore it is said that when the living entity falls into material existence, that Krishna, Lord Krishna, by his mercy, he places us under so much ignorance, sufficient ignorance, that we can forget. Otherwise, we wouldn't be able to get into material existence. We'd be caught in this sort of dual existence, that there's this drive to enjoy independently, but this knowledge that this is complete foolishness. And it would be very difficult. Therefore, for the materialist, it said that, for the devotee, it said, we should live every day as if it may be our last. In other words, really be focused and ready. Focused. What is my position? What may happen? And how am I going to deal with it in the very best ways possible? So a devotee should live every day like it's going to be his or her last. Whereas the materialist, it's a kind of tongue-in-cheek way of putting it, but the materialist should live every day as if he or she is just going to live forever. Otherwise, how are they going to get into it? How are they going to get into it? They'll be frustrated. Yeah. So in that sense, Krishna's placing us under this deep, deep ignorance where we don't know who or what we are or where we came from or what we're meant to do and all these types of totally foundational questions. We've got no idea. And we just grasp the immediate situation and sort of just go for it, as they say. So therefore, sometimes it is said that ignorance is the strongest or most prominent of the modes. Because without ignorance, without powerful ignorance, how are the conditioned souls really going to get into their program of material existence? They'll be in a type of, you know, too heavy duality. So, Lord Brahma, though, he knows that Kapila is the original Adyam Purusham, the original Supreme Personality of Godhead, who's appeared as an incarnation. You know, we read the other day, there was talk about two types of expansions of the Lord, Angsha and Kala, or Kala. Angsha means directly a part of the Supreme Lord. Kala means, you could say, a part of a part. But now, a Kapila Muni, he is not just a part of a part. He is Adyam Purusham Avatirnam Swamaya Ya. He is the original person appearing as an incarnation by his internal potency. But his incarnation, he's not exactly Krishna himself in every respect. he is, as the verse says, he has assumed the body, bibranam, deham bibranam. He's assumed a form. It's a totally spiritual form, but it's not exactly that original form of Krishna, Shamsunda, blackish blue, like that. So, but still, you know, one should not think that, ah, he's not the original Supreme Lord. We want only Krishna, only the original Supreme Lord. Otherwise, we're not going to be satisfied. He is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Adyam Purusham. We mentioned the other day that these different expansions of the Lord, some of them, and it appears that Kapila is in that category, some of them are actually full manifestations of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, but they do not display all the different features, qualities, characteristics, powers. They don't display them all. They have them all. That's described, to some degree it's described in Laghu Bhagavatamrita. Srila Rupa Goswami talks about how there are three forms. We talked about this actually, yeah. It was Lord Nrisimhadeva's appearance day. Three forms of the Lord, which can be basically accepted as being pretty much totally complete manifestations of the Lord. First Krishna, then Lord Ram, then Lord Nrisimhadeva. So basically, they have all the different potencies, etc., completely. But then again, he describes how they don't manifest them all. At least Krishna's the only one who manifests all of them. Lord Ram manifests them less, and Nrisimhadeva manifests them less again. And an example which is given to illustrate this point in regard to the different degrees of manifestation between Lord Krishna and Lord Ram is that when Lord Ram left Ayodhya, everyone cried, but they only cried that one time. When Krishna would go out to herd the cows every day, all the bridge bussies cried every day. Yeah. So therefore there was a difference in depth of manifestation of that lovable nature of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And again, an interesting little point which Prabhupada indirectly refers to here is that swamayaya, that, well, actually swamayaya, but then shevadim. He is the original bestower of all the necessities of life for all living entities. As Prabhupada mentions, there's a verse in the Vedas, Shvetashvata Upanishad, Nityo Nityanam Chaitanas Chaitananam Eko Bahunam Yovedadati Kaman, that there is there are two categories of eternal living beings. Yes. One category has one member. The other category has just unlimited members. But, Eko, the one. Bahunam yovadadati kaman. The one has been fulfilling the kaman, the desires of the bahunam, of the many, since time immemorial. Yes. So this is referred to here. Shevadim means he's the original bestower of all the necessities of life upon the living entities. And I was just about to mention that Srila Jiva Goswami, in his commentary on this verse, the only thing he says, it's just one sentence, is that this word, swamayaya, of course here it's being translated, and we can see why, translated by his own energy, swamaya, his own potency. But Jiva Goswami says swamayaya, it can be translated as by his mercy, because that swamayaya also means his personal mercy. And Prabhupada, of course, is explaining in these terms here, in the sense of Shevadim. He's the original bestower of all the necessities of life upon the living entities. He's the original bestower of everything upon the living entities. By his mercy. It's simply by his mercy. If one thinks about, it's interesting just to consider a little, what is the extent of the Lord's mercy? Because he's giving so much to us in these terms, bestowing upon us all the necessities of life, including our bodies, and what to speak of everything else. But he's doing that for every living entity, and not just the humans. His distribution of mercy, whereas some people in certain sort of religious denominations feel they're the only ones who are getting the mercy, because at least they feel they have access to some very special ability or way of approaching the Lord. But if one considers just a little bit the extent of the mercy of the Lord and how the Lord manifests mercy in different ways to different living entities, it's quite incredible. I mean, it's so incredible. It's far, far, far beyond our capacity to appreciate, practically even just in regards to ourselves. Of course, this is also part of ignorance. We are so limited by ignorance, and it includes our inability to appreciate the extent of the Lord's mercy in general, and even in regard to ourselves. You know, when I first joined the temple, one of the first things, or one of the earlier things I was told, maybe not exactly one of the first, but pretty early on, was a little joke. Let me tell you the joke. There's a devotee, householder, and, you know, jobs are difficult to get. He got the opportunity. He's got the opportunity to go for the interview for the job, and he really feels, you know, according to the description of the job, he's got a great chance and he really needs it. And he's a devotee. So he drives to the place. It's in the center of some city somewhere. and it's the middle of the day, and there's a lot of traffic. And he's got to be at the appointment on time. So he finds the building, but there's no parking. What to do? So he prays to Krishna. Krishna, you know, I really need this job. Please, please make a parking space open up for me. And then he thinks, well, you know, why would Krishna do that for me? You know, I'm not such a good devotee. And he said, Krishna, look, if you make a parking place for me, I will make sure I chant 16 rounds every day. I'll never leave any over. Just give me a parking place. But there isn't one, so he has to drive around the block. And he comes up again, and there's no parking place. He says, Krishna, listen, if you give me a parking place, I promise you, I will follow every Ekadasi. I will make a point of it. Just give me a parking place. But there's no parking place. And around again for a third time. Krishna, if you give me a parking place, it's almost time for the interview. If you give me a parking place, I'll read all of Prabhupada's books. And when I finish, I'll just read them again. Please. But there's no parking place. He goes around again. Krishna, please, come on. And suddenly, oh, there's a parking place. And as he pulls into the parking place, he thinks, gosh, I'm really glad I found that parking place. Anyway, excuse us, but it's a devotee joke. So this tendency to, or inability, lack of ability of vision to perceive the mercy that we're getting, unless it's sort of, you know, so dramatic and vivid that you're forced to. Anyway, it's just part of our condition and ignorance in this material world. But the Lord is so kind, it's almost, that's inconceivable also, that he keeps persevering with us despite everything. He couldn't be blamed for just letting us go. And in some cases he just lets people go. If they're just too insistent on trying to enjoy independently. So anyway, yeah, this is what's being brought out here. The Lord has appeared, the original Lord has appeared as an incarnation by his internal potency. And it's all part of how he's mercifully helping all living entities, ultimately by facilitating them to go back to Godhead. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki. Any comment or question, or what do you think? I'm going to make this thing function differently to see if we can pick up Jai Sachinandan's question. Hare Krishna. I don't know if we can hear you. Hare Krishna. Shaktyavesh. Did you hear that in Zoom land? Oops. Mute. Unmute. Mute. I'm just going to ask them if they heard you. Just bear with me. Because, did you hear that question or comment? No. You didn't hear. Yeah. Okay. All right. So it was Jai Satchinandan Prabhu, who, you know, a very well-informed devotee, who said that he has heard something to that effect. He has heard that Lord Kapila is a Shaktyavesh avatar, whereas here, well, we sort of, you know, spoke about it at some length already. It's said that he is Adyam Purusham. Oops. So, Shaktya Vesh. You know, that verse says what it says. Oh, well, okay. You know, I just found something. Teachings of Lord Chaitanya, right at the end of chapter 7. As far as the Shaktyavesh avatars are concerned, they include Kapila. How's that? Interesting. All right, but let me just, if you don't mind, make a further comment that there are two categories of Shaktyavesh avatars. One category is empowered jivas, but the other category is empowered Vishnu Tattva. Yeah. So therefore there doesn't have to be a contradiction there. Yeah. Although I can understand how someone might think there is. It is possible. When you first saw me.
Yeah. I was coming that time, coming to the Sunday program. And I remember you walked in person, and I was just fascinated by your sister.
It's even longer now. It's almost down to the waist. Oh, okay. So that's just for amusement's sake. Jai Satchinandan Prabhu just said that he remembers when he was first coming to the temple, just visiting, and he saw me, and he saw my long sika. And it struck a chord in his heart. Okay. Hare Krishna. Maharaj? Rukmini? You know, I didn't hear that properly. Did anyone hear it? Either speak up or come closer and do it. I'm sorry. Oh, see. What is the difference? Did you hear that? Oops. Just a sec. Did you hear that? Wow, he heard you. That's good. So the microphone works to some degree. Anyway, let me just turn the sound down again. All right. Okay, so the question, and it's a nice question from Mother Rukmini, who really, you know, she's quite a storehouse of nice questions. I'm sure she can give nice classes. You know why? Other devotees should also give classes too here. All right, anyway, so the question was, what is the difference between a devotee who can see the mercy of the Lord and the devotee who cannot see the mercy of the Lord? You know, of course, that's making it a bit, I would say, a bit too much black and white, just one or the other, you know, either in or out sort of situation. But I would say it's very much a question of degree. Yeah. And the difference is, well, you know, you can always say the difference is in degree of advancement is kind of, you know, an easy general way to put it, which is true, and it's true. But, you know, another thing I was told when I was a young devotee, and we were told this repeatedly, we were told we should be mercy hounds, would you believe? Hound meaning a type of dog that can follow a scent. You understand? You know, they use them, the police use them. They're at the airport looking, I suppose, for marijuana or something like that. Yeah, so a hound is a dog that can follow a scent, which otherwise, you know, people can't smell. So we should be mercy hounds. So I would say the beginning, at least what we need to do, is try to appreciate, let us say try to appreciate, how important mercy is. And try and meditate on that. Try and pray for realization of that. And pray for realization and maybe sort of investigate. I mean, in the sense of read the books and try and find out different histories and accounts of how people got mercy. And in this way, just enter more deeply into the heart of the subject. And I think that, I mean, I think, but, you know, it appears to me that if we develop a desire and really try and pursue the desire in whatever ways are available to us, then Krishna, particularly a good desire like this, it's such a nice desire, then Krishna will respond by giving greater realization, understanding realization, and in due course, greater mercy. Well, I mean, the understanding, greater realization is greater mercy already. Yeah. Yes. So I would say that like many things in Krishna consciousness, it's something we have to actually work on. Don't just, you know, carry on, which could be a bit on the mechanical side, and just wait for it to come. But we have to, in Krishna consciousness, we have to actively pursue Krishna consciousness. That's what we're here for, to actively pursue Krishna consciousness in terms of the different features. Like in our chanting I mentioned earlier, our chanting, we have to actively pursue better chanting. We really need to. And if we, you know, I mean, that's also a point. If we actively pursue better chanting, more mercy will come. And we, through that mercy, we will appreciate that we're getting more mercy. Yeah. So that, I think that's a suggestion in practical terms. What do you think? All right. Hare Krishna. Oh, sorry. Let's see if we can pick you up. Loud and clear. You were wondering. I see. Okay. Did you catch that? I turned off his sound because we're testing the sound actually. And this is this computer, you know. It's an Apple. It's not easy to use. Did you hear that?
Guru Maharaj only partially something about previous lifetimes.
Okay. Just see. Yeah, no, she's just asking, is it possible to remember previous lifetimes? And the answer to that is yes, it's possible. I mean, well, one fairly concrete example, Judd Bharat, or Bharat Maharaj, when he was born as a deer, he remembered. He had some remembrance. And when he was born as Judd Bharat, the following life, he really remembered. And therefore he adopted, you know, a very extraordinary program to avoid the pitfalls which he had kind of succumbed to previously. You know that story, yeah. So therefore the answer has to be that it's definitely possible. And for, you know, if the question then would be, is it possible for us? Well, I think, you know, the jury is out on that still. But there is evidence which suggests that it's possible. There's definitely evidence. Like, I don't know, did you ever see that? It's an ITV video about regression. Did you see that? It's like a half-hour video interviewing these people, going with them to places. And it seems that some of them remembered things which they could not have known by research. Yeah, about how things were and different events which happened, you know, long time before. Not just a few years, but long time before. And if you ask my disciple, her name's Keshava Priya, you can contact her if you like. You know, she's actually a very dedicated devotee. You can ask her about it. I mean, that's what she does. That's how she makes, I don't know, a living, but she's doing that. And she's got a lot of experience for many years. And she speaks English. Okay. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki.
Jai.
Sure.